A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. That is the wrong reading. So let's try again. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were too afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you from God the Sovereign and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is good to be back at St. Matthew's. I've got to be honest, I have missed you all quite a bit. Last weekend, as a matter of fact, I was up in Hamilton Square, and the last two times I've been up there, I've had surprise visitors. A few weeks earlier, it had been the bishop, and that was a little unnerving. And last week, it was a friend, a pastor who's a friend of mine, as well as Pastor Ingrid's. And I asked this friend if he saw in me some other pastors I had worked with. Pastor Ingrid is definitely one of those people who has rubbed off on me. If in no other way, and there's many, but the one that's most prominent to me, especially right now, is that I have her happy feet, which is dangerous because this pulpit is kind of shallow. So I could fall, but we'll see what happens. That's only happened one time, I swear. I think it's interesting this year. I don't know if Pastor Ingrid has felt the same way, but I'm not always a fan of our lectionary. That is, the selection of texts, or really the schedule of texts, we are given every week. I'm often asked by other people if I am stuck with those readings, and the answer is no, I'm not. Pastors are free to break from the lectionary whenever we want to, but often we're hesitant or reluctant to break from what everyone else is doing. But this year, the last several months at least, our lectionary has felt incredibly relevant for the time we are living in and the struggles going on in our neighborhoods, our communities, and even our nation. Today's readings are no different. Jesus fundamentally asks us, what is great? Who is great? And whenever I hear that type of question, I think back to the words of Dr. Cornel West, a professor with whom I have often found great wisdom. And Dr. West takes issues with our descriptions of things and people being great. He argues that Alexander wasn't great. He just dominated and conquered a lot of people. Napoleon wasn't great. He dominated and conquered a lot of people. And I think Dr. West is correct, that so often our understandings of what is great is built on these concepts of power and status. And if we're really going to be honest, it's built on concepts of having power over other people. And that's always dangerous, always really slippery. In this reading today, Jesus is having those issues, those fundamental communication issues. Jesus has been trying for a while now to prepare his disciples for what is going to happen, and he's getting resistance all along the way. They had in their mind their understanding of what is great and what is strong. They expected someone to come, a Messiah who will lead them against their oppressors. But Jesus' understandings and ideas were far bigger than that. Jesus came to earth knowing that he would die because he was not looking for a temporary military battle. Jesus was looking to defeat death in all of its forms, the suffering amongst us and things that lead to spiritual and emotional death. So, back to the issues of great. If we're going to start calling things and people and ideas great, well, then it would help to understand whose definitions we are working with. First and foremost, you should kind of be a little hesitant with anyone who sets their own criteria or definition for what greatness is and then declares themselves to be great. Jesus' definition is pretty straightforward. Greatness is how you treat the most vulnerable. Greatness is not power. It's not power over, and it's not status. Instead, it's how are you doing with the poor? How are you doing with the widow? How are you doing with the lonely and the isolated? That's Jesus' definition of greatness. And I think I understand why we shy away from it, because it's a definition that's kind of difficult, and it's one in which we don't always succeed. If to be great, we have to be the servant of the poor, that's not easy. And it's certainly not something that comes naturally to me or something that I would automatically be inclined to do. Yet, it's what we are taught. Because if we're honest, this reading today is similar to Jesus' other sayings, his other teachings. While Jesus today is talking about a child, he so often says that those who are poor, when you do it for someone who is poor, you're doing it for me. When you're doing it for the hungry or the thirsty, you're doing it for me. And this isn't just Jesus saying, I am like the poor, or I am as the poor. Jesus is directly identifying as the poor and vulnerable. We come here every Sunday, some of us maybe even more than that. And we come here because, as I know Pastor Ingrid has told you over and over again, we come because we know we can find God through the preaching of Scripture. We find God in the Word and in the meal. It's a guarantee. But sometimes I worry that we only look for God in those places, when God is really all around us. And occasionally, on our good days, God even comes to us through each other. But in our gospel reading today, Jesus is reminding us of his identification with the poor. And I propose this question. Is there a sense in which there are aspects of God that we can only know when we're in relationship with the vulnerable, when we are feeding the hungry, when we are visiting the imprisoned? Because if so, then that's something important for us who want to be close to God. Jesus tells us where he is. That's something to think about. Perhaps we should go there. And while Jesus talked about the poor and the hungry and the naked and the imprisoned, I haven't seen anyone walking down the street naked, at least not in a long time. But in our culture, we definitely have those people who are truly the vulnerable, who are the least of these. But they might look a little different than our scripture has always presented them as. But perhaps we need to know them nonetheless. Perhaps we need to know the abused spouse or the single mother. Perhaps we need to spend time with the adult with Down syndrome or the transgender 12-year-old. If Jesus is with the least of these, then Jesus is with the depressed, the addict, the lonely, the imprisoned, and the hopeless. And that's probably a good thing, because I'm willing to bet that at some time or another, we identify as all of those things. And I also have this other hunch. As Lutherans, we're so good about talking about the gospel and being free to love and serve our neighbors. But I also wonder if there's a sense in which we're really, truly only free when we are doing those things. Perhaps it is in showing love to those who are the most vulnerable, to those our society deems the most unlovable, that we're really freed, and that we can really experience and recognize God amongst us. And that makes sense to me. Because ultimately, our call and our mission is to reflect the love to others that God consistently gives us over and over again. And perhaps in order to reflect that love, we need to be in the places where it's most needed. But that's good news. It's good news that we have that opportunity and that ability to come so close to the heart of God, to be with the people God cares so much about, even if they're children that everybody else ignores, because after all, they're only a child. Greatness is measured as something different than what we so often hear. And if we take this seriously, people might look at us funny, and they might think we're nuts or crazy or that we hang out with the wrong crowd. But ultimately, it is all about God's love. And that's good news, that wherever we go, God goes with us. And whatever we struggle with, God goes with us, especially when we go to reflect that love towards others. Amen.